Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, 1 through 9. The story of the seeds being planted. At about that same time, Jesus left the house and sat on the beach. In no time at all, a crowd gathered along the shoreline, forcing him to get into a boat. Using the boat as a pulpit, he addressed his congregation, telling stories. What do you make of this? A farmer planted seed. As he scattered the seed, some of it fell on the road. The birds ate it. Some fell in the gravel. It sprouted quickly, but did not put down roots. So when the sun came up, it withered just as quickly. Some fell in the weeds. As it came up, it was strangled by the weeds. Some fell on the good earth. It and produced a harvest beyond his wildest dreams. Are you listening to this? Really listening? This is the word of God for the people of God.
It is good to be alive and to be among the people of God in this time and place and have your finger healing. Amen?
Amen.
All right, got your attention. I want to say, just starting out, a word of thanks to this congregation for your patience and presence with me. Some of you thought that it was a lot of hard work. I thought it was a busman's holiday. I've been in church preaching 6 Sundays in a row, and I've not been to one meeting. And we know that meetings are where things get decided about the real stuff that happens, like organizing vacation Bible school, just for instance, etc., so that that can happen and the doing of it happens. But it's been interesting. And I also know that that means I've missed out on a lot of wonderful things that have been going on over the past 6 weeks. Well, you're going to get a real pastor soon. She's already here. So I know she sent me an email from here. So. I grew up in a farming family. My great-grandfather planted some of the first vineyards in Livermore in the 1880s. And his son, my grandfather, left the Bay Area in 1906 for some reason I can't remember. Oh, there was an earthquake, that's what it was. And he moved up to far northern California, where he bought a large farm and planted an orchard of those things that we up there call almonds. I don't know what you call them here. And started a dairy and a chicken ranch. And I grew up on that farm. That doesn't mean that I'm a farmer. Now, I worked on a lot of farms growing up. And that always reminded me of why I was earning money in the summer to go to college. So that doesn't mean I'm a farmer either. But it does mean I know a little bit about farmers and farming. Just enough to get me in trouble. So I almost made the title of this sermon, The Idiot Farmer. Because the farmer in this parable is not a good farmer. What's going on? Let me tell you just a little bit. Palestinian farmers in Jesus' day and this day grew a lot of barley and wheat. And what was their most valuable possession as a farmer? Was it the land? Nope. Was it the crop? Nope. It was the seeds. Their most valuable possession was the seed. And every year the farmer would make a point of gathering the seed from the best plants and saving that from the harvest so that it could be used to plant next year's crop. And that is what keeps the farmer and the harvest cycle going. And to this day, farmers in Palestine are very careful about the collection of their seeds, and listen to this, where the seeds go. Planting sometimes involves putting individual seeds in small prepared holes and covering them over, even though they're planting barley and wheat crops. But this farmer, in Jesus' parable, this farmer throws seed everywhere, on the gravel, in the weeds, on the pavement. Now what in heaven's name for? That was a pun, if you listen carefully. Even so, in the end, the harvest is much, much more than can be expected. 7 or 10-fold would have been a bumper crop, but the Message translation says the crop produced a harvest beyond his wildest dreams. Actually, up to 100-fold times would have been planted. That's an impossible number. Well, unfortunately, the differences of life for Palestinian farmers in Jesus' day and the modern Palestinian farmer are not that great. In Jesus' day, the Romans had an empire to run, and to maintain it, they had a huge army and a bureaucratic structure. And to maintain that huge army, they took large taxes of crops from farmers to feed their army. A farmer in Jesus' day was lucky enough to make enough money to pay expenses and to grow enough food to feed the family before the Romans took most of their crop. 80% wasn't uncommon. And they were only too ready to grab up land for taxes and then pay the poor farmer less than a living wage to farm what had been the farmer's own land. This was common in Jesus' day and behind the background of some of the parables that we hear in the New Testament. And so Jesus' parable offers a very different view of how the economy of the commonwealth of God works. In the parable, the seed is so abundant it can be wasted, and the crop it grows is so large it would allow a peasant family to eat, pay rent, taxes, and debts, and buy land. It's a vision of an economy and a social order turned on its head. In the Roman kingdom, the peasants go broke and they have their crops confiscated before their starving eyes. In the commonwealth of God, there's more than enough for all. Which kingdom do we wish to live in? And which attitude do we wish to nurture and live by? And since this is the first in a series of parables that Jesus tells, it's in a sense a parable about parables. In other words, we keep telling the stories and listening to them and seeing where they catch us and move us and inform us and challenge us. It reminds us that the stories of Jesus are full of encounters with an extravagant, loving God. It also reminds us that we ourselves and our actions have the amazing possibility of being seeds of God's love, compassion, and justice. For certainly this parable is about justice, about the least having what they need, as well as the not so least continuing to have what they need, having what they need in terms of an economy of respect and dignity. It was great to have the Vacation Bible School folks all up in front of you. Some of you are still in the room, so I want everybody who can remember something from Vacation Bible School to raise their hand so that the leaders can look around. Come on. Yes, all right. More than a few. I have several Vacation Bible School stories, but you don't have time for them. But what are the seeds? Think of those BBS classes that you went through and what things you survived. A lot of them always involved growing something. I must have brought home 8 zillion paper cups with seeds in them as a child. John Wesley talked about the love of God spread abroad in our hearts. The stories of who God is and how God is revealed in the life, death, and resurrection are stories that we tell, but also the stories in which we tell the various ways that sow the seeds of the commonwealth of God in our actions and living. And sometimes they fall on pavement and they get squashed and run over, and sometimes they fall on the gravel, and even if they sprout, there isn't enough to grow on, so they wither and die. And sometimes they fall in the weeds, and even though they start and have soil and develop roots, they get choked up and run over by the weeds. But that doesn't stop sower God. God just keeps on sowing seeds until they bring in a return. If you remember that sentence, you can go to sleep and have your sermon nap. God keeps on sowing seeds until they bring a return. Until. And you never know what kind of a seed might bring a return. For several years, I was privileged to be the pastor of St. Paul's United Methodist Church. And that little church has an after-school program in music and dance and theater at various times called the Creative Arts for Youth Program. And the mother of twin daughters tells this story. She went to a parent-teacher's meeting with her children's, her twin daughters' teacher. And the teacher said, "Tell me what you've been doing differently at home with your daughters." And the mother asked the teacher, Why do you ask that? I can't think of anything I've been doing differently." And the teacher said, "Well, your daughters have both become more outgoing. They talk and interact with other children. They do their homework. Their attitudes are positive, and they seem to have a much better sense of themselves." And her mom thought about it and said, "You know, the only thing that's changed is I'm taking them to a dance class once a week." And then I thought, when I was reading the paper this week, a story caught me. You may have heard of the kidnapping and murder of three Jewish students in Israel, and then the revenge kidnapping and killing of a Palestinian teenager. What was going on last Sunday while we were in church was two Palestinian men called the mother of one of those Israeli students and said, "You know, it's Ramadan. We would like to come and offer you our condolences for the death of your son, because murder is murder, and it is not acceptable to us either." And the woman invited them into her grieving household, and they shared food and spoke to one another. And then about 2 hours later, the uncle of that young Israeli man who was killed, he asked the mayor of Jerusalem, who had showed up, what could he do? And he said, "Well, you could return the favor." And so he called the parents of the young Palestinian man who had been murdered and said, "I want to call you and offer you my condolences. We both share in a common grief, and we don't need this to happen in our country anymore." Now, a lot of awful things came out of that, those events. But that little seed, those little seeds are what began to change lives. That story's gone around the world. All of the Methodists in Texas, it's a big state, lots of them, have invited everybody in the United Methodist Church and Christians and Muslims together. These families in Israel, Palestinian and Jewish, realized that this Tuesday is a fast day in Judaism. I'll say this wrong, I apologize. It's called Shiva Asar Tammuz. And it's a day when Jews fast to remember the awful things that happened to Israel as a nation. Specifically, when Moses was so angry he broke the stones of the commandments, or an idol was first placed in the Jewish temple, or the Babylonian sage, or the burning of the Torah that happened during that, or the Romans destroying Jerusalem in 69. And it's also Ramadan, when our Muslim brothers pray for peace and holiness in their lives and the world. And I'm a victim of Ramadan. I just had a wonderful dinner that even though I fasted part of the day, I gained 10 pounds. And so they've invited everyone to pray for the peace of Israel, Palestine, Israel, on this coming Tuesday, and to fast. I'm not a great faster, but I think I'm going to do away with lunch, at least. And I think I'm going to break my fast with the people from Pacific Institute who have a free dinner this coming Tuesday evening. Those little seeds need to be acknowledged in our lives in some way. One of the things that Jesus once said was, when you can't figure out what to do, I'm paraphrasing him, when you can't figure out what else to do, fast and pray together. My friend Jim Strathy was in Palestine several years ago, and he was meeting with Palestinian Christians, and he kept talking about the concept of shalom. And finally, one of the brothers and sisters said, Mr. Strathy, that's Hebrew. And we want to talk about the concept of a salam, which is peace in Arabic. And so Jim thought about that, and he wrote up a wonderful song called As-Salam Shalom. The words are As-Salam Shalom, As-Salam Shalom, peace to my brothers, my neighbors, peace to my brothers, my sisters, my neighbors, As-Salam Shalom. And it's become very popular among both Jews and Christians working for peace in Israel. You never know what a seed is going to be planted. Several years ago, there was a very rich couple, and they went to Americus, Georgia, where there was a little integrated community of folks called Koinonia Farms. And they were intrigued by this experiment in practical Christianity, because these people had gathered together in the middle of the South in the 1940s to try to live out the Book of Acts understanding of the early church. They held all of their property in common, and they had lots of squabbles about it. It sounds nice, but it wasn't easy. And had this farm, and they wanted to join this farm. And Clarence said, that would be great. You can join the farm, but first you need to give away your millions. And he said, but there'd be such a great asset to this community. And Clarence said, yes, it would. And every time there was a hard decision about sharing, you would think that you brought more to it than anybody else and might therefore get a little more deference. And so when you decided to give away your millions, you can come. Well, they thought long and hard about it, about 6 months worth, and decided that's what they would do. And they joined Koinonia. And some strange things have come out of that, but one thing came out of that, that just that one little seed, that one little conversation with Clarence Jordan. It's called Habitat for Humanity, because it was the founders of Habitat that were that couple. Our God is an extravagant God. Given the right soil and conditions, God can do amazing things with us and through us. We do not know where the best soil is, but God's seeds do. And so we are tempted at times to live as if God were not a God of abundance and grace, as if grace would run out and abandon us. We are tempted to live as if we must hoard and hide our resources. We are tempted to live lives limited by our fears rather than freed by God's love. And this parable and those that follow call us to a new vision and relationship with God based on extravagant abundance. I want to leave you with two things, an observation and a song. The observation is that in the midst of a field of grief, God has been planting new seeds in Campbell United Methodist Church. This congregation, and God's been planting new seeds in the life of your new pastor. Trust the promise. Water the seeds. So, Tom Hunter, God rest him, is one of the three or four my three or four favorite songwriters of songs for children, and you've got the words to one of them in your hymnal, in your bulletin. They should be in the hymnal, but they aren't. This is a fill-in-the-blank song, so you can start thinking about things that fill in the blank where the word trees is. I've got a couple if you don't come up with them. So you've got the words there. I'm going to sing it through once and invite you to join in the second time around. And actually, the second time around, I'll just put the words in seeds. But I forgot to bring my prop, which is a redwood tree seed, which you couldn't see from here. Let's put it that way. Okay. A lot of trees start from seeds so small, you gotta look close or you can't see them at all. It's hard to believe trees grow so tall from seeds that start so small. Well, the sun comes up, and the rain comes down, and the rain comes down, and the trees get planted in the fertile ground. If you listen real close, you can hear the sound of trees starting to grow. Not that hard, right? Seeds a second time. A lot of seeds start from seeds so small, you gotta look close or you can't see them at all. It's hard to believe seeds grow so tall from seeds that start so small. And the sun comes up, and the rain comes down, and the rain comes down. The seeds get planted in the fertile ground. If you listen real close, you can hear the sound of trees starting to grow. What else grows? I want a couple of words. Birds. A lot of birds start from trees, seeds so small, you gotta look close or you can't see them at all. It's hard to believe birds grow so tall from seeds that start so small. Well, the sun comes up, and the rain comes down, and the rain comes down. Birds get planted in the fertile ground. If you listen real close, you can hear the sound. Birds starting to grow. How about hope? A lot of hope starts from seeds so small, you gotta look close or you can't see it at all. It's hard to believe hope grows so tall from seeds that start so small. But the sun comes up, and the rain comes down, and the rain comes down. Birds get planted in the fertile ground. If you listen real close, you can hear the sound of hope starting to grow. How about kids? A lot of kids start from seeds so small, you gotta look close or you can't see them at all. It's hard to believe kids grow so tall from seeds that start so small. When the sun comes up, and the rain comes down, and the rain comes down. Kids get planted in the fertile ground. If you listen real close, you can hear the sound of kids starting to grow. Love. A lot of love starts from seeds so small, you gotta look close or you can't see it at all. It's hard to believe love grows so tall from seeds that start so small. Wait. Somebody told me they were celebrating their 55th anniversary this year. Love. Well, the sun comes up, and the rain comes down, and the rain comes down, and the love gets planted in the fertile ground. If you listen real close, you can hear the sound of love starting to grow. How about churches? A lot of churches start from seeds so small, you gotta look close or you can't see them at all. It's hard to believe churches grow so tall from seeds that start so small. Well, the sun comes up, and the rain comes down, and the rain comes down. Love gets planted in the fertile ground. If you listen real close, you can hear the sound of churches starting to grow. And you can get all the words mixed up like that, and it still works. That's the great part. One more. Blessings. A lot of blessings start from seeds so small, you gotta look close or you can't see them at all. It's hard to believe blessings start so small and seeds that start so small. Well, the sun comes up, and the rain comes down, and the rain comes down, and the blessings get planted in the fertile ground. If you listen real close, you can hear the sound of blessings starting to grow. Now, my firm hope is that that's one of those songs that gets stuck in your head and won't go away the rest of the day, and the only way you'll survive is to put different things in the blank. Amen. Our hymn is Be Thou My Vision, 451.